I want you to think with me about some unexpected things in your life. We attended a wedding last night where a young man that we know very well and a young lady met at a church service unexpectedly a year ago. His pastor introduced him to this young lady, and last night they got married. That was an unexpected what? Blessing. Would you agree with that? It was joyful to hear the story. There are times that some of you unexpectedly lost your job. And you came home depressed and you thought, how am I going to make it? And through that ordeal, God gave you another job that was what? Better than the one you lost. But at the time, you didn't understand. There are some of you in here that made some unexpected investments and were thinking of how great the return was going to be, and then all of a sudden it dove to the bottom of the barrel, which caused you to rethink your whole lifestyle, which maybe caused you to do things financially that you weren't doing before. And those are called unexpected blessings. God's involved with that. He knows what He's doing. And in this Christmas story, there's all kinds of unexpected things happening. Now, why? Why? They're either unexpected or they're what I call divine appointments. That means that God put on His calendar, before there were calendars, God wrote some things down and He said, this is going to happen in the future. And then the future came and God said, this is how it's going to happen. And guess what? It happened exactly as what? God said it was going to happen. Now there still remains some things that God said were going to happen and they haven't happened yet. But they're going to happen exactly the way God said it. Were they God's divine appointments? They were. Now, I want you to join me in Matthew chapter 2, and I want you to read with me, following Scripture, the first six verses. I want to tell you, though, that verse number 6, look down at verse number 6. It doesn't make a lot of sense to you, except what you have to understand that in verse number 6 of Matthew chapter 2, you know that that comes from what Old Testament book? Anybody know? All right, if you have a study Bible, it will tell you which book begins with an M. Okay, how about Micah? Okay, let's understand. Here's what God is saying. In Micah chapter 5, listen to me. Hundreds of years before the event, God said it was going to happen. And this is how it was going to happen. And then it happened exactly the way God said it. And that's what you have to get happy about. Because if God said something hundreds of years ago and it happened exactly hundreds of years later, then things that He has continued to say thousands of years ago will someday happen exactly the way God said. Now that should encourage you. Okay, because we believe as a church, at least at this church, we believe one day Jesus is what? Coming again, because He said so. Thousands of years before today. And that will happen. Now, join me in the text. Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men or magi, or sometimes we refer to them as kings. Okay? Wise men or magi from the east came to Jerusalem saying, in other words, they got to Jerusalem, they start asking people questions. Now, amen, ladies, they're very unusual men. They stopped and asked directions, and they stopped and asked questions. Amen, ladies? Is that unusual man? Listen, if you've been journeying as long as these guys were, you'd stop and ask for directions too. Now, look at the text. Saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. This is all unexpected. So they said, who said? The scribes, the religious leaders, the men of the faith, the religious leaders. They said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah. Chapter 5, verse 2. Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler. If your Bible does not capitalize the word ruler, you need to take a pen and go over that word. Because it literally means, for out of that place, the ruler of the universe will come. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you this morning about God's appointments in life. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. I'm going to make this very, very simple. God's appointments in life. When God appoints certain things in your life, it is best that you cooperate and not fight him. Let me show you in verses 1 through 6. I want you to see all of the unexpected things that took place in verses 1 through 6. You and I, we would never be able to write this script. It is not humanly possible. In verses 1 through 6, beginning in verse number 1, I'm not going to read it again. The Magi, but here's what really got me. When sometimes we don't like referring to them as Magi. But we really like, we three kings of Orient are. Kings. Now listen to me. How many of you think it even makes any sense that a king would go look for another king? If you're king, how do you feel? Feel the best? Okay? And it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Okay, usually anybody gets up there thinks there's nobody else but them. In fact, in the world in which we're reading about, the King Herods thought they were so big they should be worshipped. And they should be deities. Now, it doesn't make sense that these kings or magi or wise men should seek out on a journey to find the birth of another king. Unless God put a homing device in their hearts. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. In the church work today, and you've heard a lot of it, we call people like this seeker-sensitive people. These are the first seeker-sensitive people in the world. These men, God put something in the human heart of these kings to get them to want to seek out God. And when that happens, when God puts something in the human heart that says there is a God and you need to find him, you need to know him, you need to see him, you need to feel him, you need to get to realize who he is. You cannot do anything else but seek him out. You may try to go, no, I'm never going to do that. He'll penetrate that stubbornness. These men, doesn't make sense. It's unexpected that wise men would come from the east who were not Jewish and seek out the birth of a king. Number two, listen to me. It doesn't make any sense here that they're seeking this man by following his star. His star? How many of you have your own stars? Some of you are going to try and raise your hands for that one. We don't have a star. Some of us wish we had a star, but we don't have a star. He had his own star. This is not the North Star. This is not some planet in some eclipsical movement. This is a specially created star by God to announce the birth of his son. Because he wants people to know him. These men are coming from the east. They're going to another land called Jerusalem. It's not their homeland. It's not the religious center of their worship. This is all unexpected. In fact, in verses 3 and 4 of Matthew chapter 2, when is the last time you can remember that a child's birth caused public protest? William, you just had a baby recently. Was there a public protest over the birth of Malachi? Frankly, most of the public didn't even know it. A few of us did. I'm speaking, ladies and gentlemen, that what happens here is there is a community riot over the birth of Christ. Did you hear about the baby? What baby? The Messiah may have been born. There's visitors in town. King Herod is in tune to it. The government is in tune to it. The general population is. The religious leaders are scrambling. Now, isn't it interesting? They knew where he was going to be born, but they didn't know when he was going to be born. They listened to Herod, and Herod listened to them. Listen now. Listen. The church at that time listened to the government, and the government listened to the church, and both of them missed Jesus. Because, friends, listen to me. We don't get our answers from the church, and we don't get our answers from the government. We get our answers from Almighty God Himself. Amen? But that's unexpected. In verse number 6, the Magi put their confidence not in Herod, not in the religious leaders, but rather in the prophetic scriptures to follow the documents of the Word of God. Listen to me, I'm challenging you this morning. I'm challenging you to consider that this special star that God created for his son's birth was to give direction. God still wants to give direction, folks, to people. Listen to Scripture. Matthew 13, 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes are closed, lest they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they would understand with their hearts and turn so that I could heal them. Listen to Scripture. Acts 13, 27. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, have fulfilled them in condemning him. God will make himself available to anybody who needs direction. Even, listen to me, even if he has to put a star in the sky to lead them to their destination. God wants you and I to know Jesus Christ. And he will even do that in unexpected ways. There are probably dozens of people in this auditorium this morning that if you stood up to give your testimony, you would say, bottom line, I came to Christ in an unexpected way. I have people that tell me all the time, I had the attorney that we were with this week. The attorney that I was with this week handling Mr. Nick Hamilgee's estate said that to me. He said, I was at a funeral you did recently. Interesting. Never know. I've had people say, man, I never expected to come to a wedding and hear the gospel. That's what the power of the gospel is. There are people come tonight, grandmas and grandpas that are come here tonight, moms and dads, neighbors, friends of these kids, and they'll never expect to go away different. They're going to come and think they're going to be entertained. Yet God, the Holy Spirit, is going to arrest their heart and call them to himself. Number two, I want you to jump down with me and look at the scripture. Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. I love this story. I love this story. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men. Question. Did God know he was going to call the wise men? Yes or no? Of course he did. I love that. Secretive. What do you think you can hide from God? Now, somebody says, well, people don't know the secrets of my heart. That's right. People don't know the secrets of your heart. But you know who does know the secrets of your heart? God does. So when Herod secretly called the wise men and said, guys, come over here. I want you to see me. Number two, I want to share with you, there's a special call from God for protection. Protection. God is going to protect his name. God is going to protect his church. God is going to protect his people. Don't worry, friends. I think this is wonderful. I heard on the national news now, when we say the Garden State to my parents and to me and to my family, we understand what that means. Does anybody know what the Garden State is? Thank you very much. I know. I preached here long enough that you know that. That makes me feel good. You know, New Jersey is a weird place. It really is. Thank you very much. I heard on the news this week, there's so many anti-Christmas things going on in the East that someone initiated a protest that spread like wildfire down the Garden State Parkway. And I had my ear. I'm like, people stopped along the road and started hanging Christmas ornaments on the state trees. Praise God. Mike is from New York City. I heard this, Mike. I don't know if it's true. But in New York City, private organizations were getting permits by the city, signed by the city fathers, paid for permits to set up nativity scenes all around New York City. What a brilliant idea. If we can't do it illegally, let's do it legally. Now, folks, listen, what am I saying? I'm not saying that we need to be controversial. You know what I'm saying? You can't kill Christmas. Christmas is not an event. It's not an event. It's about a person. It's about Jesus. They've tried to kill him. You can't do it. Don't worry. Don't get all frazzled. God will protect himself. And you know what? He doesn't need us to help him. But I like to help once in a while. These good men, verses 7 and 8, what does it say? That Herod secretly called these men and he inquired of them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. Now that sounds, you know what I call that? I call that a political statement. That is a politically correct statement. But it also was a what? Which are what most politically correct statements are. That's a true story. So I talked to the man that talked to me about it. He was in the room. A couple years ago, there were politicians and preachers gathered in one room for a Christmas luncheon about the Kroc Center. They went around and introduced themselves and gave end-of-the-year greetings. Okay? The politician said Merry Christmas and the preacher said Happy Holidays to be politically correct. We have mixed things up, haven't we? We really have. Notice what happens here. God's call for protection. These men are truly following a star which they were unashamed to admit. They were following a star. God will communicate any way he can with the human heart. Don't limit him. Number two, I want you to see in verses 9 and 10 that God used, listen to me now, God used an evil king to send good-seeking men to himself. In fact, if God can't use an evil king, he'll use a donkey. Amen? Or a rooster. Or a fish. Or, my friends, the Bible says that even the rocks and the hills will cry out in praise and worship to him if no one else will. God will use anything to get seeking men to himself. In verses 9 and 10, it says, and when they heard the king, they departed. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and it stood over where the young child was. That's called OnStar GPS. God had GPS before they ever came up with the idea. Follow this star, the children of Israel. What did they follow during the day, friends? A cloud by day and what? A pillar of fire by... Whatever God has to do to lead you to himself, he will do that because he wants to protect his name. He wants to protect his son. He wants to protect his message. And if you notice in verses 11 and 12, God even guarded them from the harm of the political community. And when they had come, verse 11, into the house, now Jesus is much older here. He's not a baby. This all did not happen on Christmas night. He's now in a house. He's a little bit older. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then something happened. Now, there's a lot of history in here. Number one, it is said that it's possible. Listen to this, how fantastic this is. It's possible the star appeared around the birth of Christ, and it took these men 6 months to 2 years to get to where he was. That's a long time to follow something. Secondly, I want you to think right now what it would be like if you saw a caravan of people pulling up in front of your house, coming into your house, you do not know them, and they're carrying gifts. We had that happen about two or three Christmases ago. The people that lived next door to us were having Christmas, and all of their family parked in our driveway in front of our house and started walking into our house with their gifts. I said, Sherry, who are these people? There's a line of them. You got to think about this. I could care less about their gifts. I want to know who they are. They're not a soul we knew. And they knocked on the door. And they were ready to say Merry Christmas. And I went, hey. And they just looked at me like, who are you? I live here. Who are you? Oh, this is obviously not. And they named our neighbors. And I said, no, it's not, but you come on in. Leave your gifts and go home. Unexpectedly. Do you know that God used those gifts to literally supply the needs of Joseph and Mary and Jesus while they were in Egypt? Those gifts were easily turned into foreign currency. Does God know what he's doing? His special protection. Not only direction for life, but he'll protect his name. Listen to me. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Somebody said to me the other day, "Pastor, when should someone get saved?" And I said, "The moment they know they need to be saved." And they should not get saved to get rid of you and me from witnessing to them. They should not get saved for any other reason other than they're ready. But don't you rush somebody. Number two, Deuteronomy 4:29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Isn't that interesting? If you seek him, you will find him. Look at the next few verses. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Not only is there a special direction and a special protection, but I love this one. I think there's a special provision. Verses 13 through 15. Right after they got their gifts, verse 12 says they were divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Now listen to me. Somebody say, "Well, Pastor, God doesn't communicate with dreams." He did then. And listen to me. If God invades your dreams, you'll know it. He went and visited Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, get up, get out of this town, because if you don't, you're going to die." What would you do? What would you do? If God told you to do something, what would you do? Then do it. So what's the next verse say? "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream again and said, 'Arise, take this young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Now there's none of this stuff that we go through. How long do I have to go for? Why are we going? How are we going to live there? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to stay? Listen, if God tells you to do something, don't you ask questions. You just do it. And he'll take care of the rest. Thank God Mary didn't ask all those questions. She just said, "Yes, sir, we're going." And they packed it up. Now, let me talk to you about this. A special journey for provision. The very gifts the wise men brought were transferable into Egyptian currency and literally supplied their need for years in Egypt. Listen to me. They sold the gold as they needed it, the frankincense and myrrh. You can do all the spiritualizing you want. You can tell me it's about his birth and it's about his death and his resurrection and all his burial. You can do all that kind of stuff. And yes, there's application. But the bottom line is they were given so many gifts that when they sold them, they had enough money to live on while they were in Egypt until Herod died. You say how long that was? It was a long time. God knows how to supply your needs. Don't question him. "Well, Pastor, if I give the tithe to the church, I don't have anything to live on." You don't have anything to live on now. But if you give God what he deserves, you'll have plenty to live on. "I don't have any time to serve the Lord." That's because you're selfish with your time. You give God your time, he'll make your time go farther than you, all your time. "I don't have any talents." Yes, you do. And what are you doing for God? I don't have time to do anything. That's because you're selfish with your money and you're selfish with your time and you're selfish with your talents. And that's why most Christians are somewhat miserable. But these people were obedient. Go to Egypt? Yes, sir, go to Egypt. I don't know anybody in Egypt. Just go to Egypt. And they went to Egypt. And God met their needs. The Bible says in verse 13 that the angel of the Lord delivered a message to Joseph in the midst of all of the other events that were happening, but Joseph was tuned in to God. You and I live in a busy, complicated, complex, confused world. Don't shut your ears off to God. Stupid stereos and computers and iPods and ear pods and every other pod in the world off and listen to God. What did Joseph do? The Bible says that night. Well, honey, we don't have time to sell the house. That night, they left. In the middle of the night, they left for their lives. I think Joe and Esther can relate with that. Now, we don't have any comprehension of that, friends, but these people did. Now, look at the last few verses. Nobody ever preaches on this at Christmas. Look at verses 16 through 18. No one ever speaks about this on Christmas. There was a darkness in the land, my friend. You know, God is wonderful in all the things that he does. He really is. He's wonderful to us. He gives us a special star for direction. He's willing to show you which way to go in your life. He gives us a special call for protection. So many times God protects us and we have no clue that he did it. We think, oh, you're such a good driver, or, you know, thank God I was 2 minutes late, or I'm so glad I didn't let the dog out before we left. No, forget it. God did that. Give him credit. And God is so good at giving us the provisions we need in life. But my friends, listen to me. When you choose Jesus, listen, because I'm going to tell you something that you don't want to hear, but you need to hear it. When you choose Jesus Christ in your life, it will be costly. And what is described in verses 16 through 18 is truly a genocide. And you got all upset in this country when we started talking about all the genocide that Saddam Hussein brought upon the Iraqi people and the Kurds and all that other kind of stuff. We got all upset. Oh, that wicked, evil man. And there's a generation in here that still remembers the wickedness of Adolf Hitler. But my dear friends, Herod the king was a wicked man. The Bible says in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceeding angry. He sent forth, listen now, look at this decree. This is around the Christmas season. He sent a decree to put to death all male children who were born in Bethlehem and in all of its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. I want every family in here this morning that has a son to stand right now. You have a son in your family. Stand. Now I want you to imagine, listen to me, you're standing, you have a son. I want you to imagine that if an edict came from the government that your son would be put to death because he's a boy. And he was born in a certain time period. And you have no say. How would you feel? You may be seated. Because my friends, listen to me. Innocent people that lived in this land that had nothing to do with Christ, They were just simple, common people. They went to work every day. They took care of their livestock. They did their business. The ladies washed the wash and cooked the meals. The men did their jobs. And there's people that knocked on their door from the government of Herod and said, "Do you have a son?" And they took that son outside and they killed that boy. Because Herod feared that one of those kids was going to be the king. And his family would lose their position. When these people heard about Christ, do you think they were going, "Oh, good, we're so glad that we're the city of Bethlehem"? You think that endeared people to Christ? I lost my boy because of that baby, and I want to follow him as my Savior? I don't think so. This is an unexpected reaction. But yet, in your Bibles, you will find that it is a fulfillment of Scripture. For God said to us in verse number 18 in Jeremiah, "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children." That means this: Jewish people, the descendants of Rachel and Jacob, weeping for their children, refusing to be comforted because they're no more. My friends, people were beyond comprehension. Why am I telling you that? This was a government slaughter that did not catch God by surprise. Every household in the Bethlehem district who had a son under 2 years old lost their son. Just because he was a boy. And they could go, "I can prove to you he's not in the lineage of David. I can prove to you that he has no ties to that Jewish family over there." It did not matter. They killed them. Say, "Pastor, what's the point?" The point is, my friends, that this world doesn't understand Jesus. And Jesus is controversial. And he, listen to me, may cost you something. But you say, "Pastor, I don't think I'm willing to pay that. I don't think I can pay that." It only endears you to understand your God. For he gave his only son, the only one he had, on a cross, because he loved us. And anyone that found the willingness to follow Jesus Christ paid a cost. That's controversial. That's unexpected. And throughout this land, now I want to give you three questions. This is how I want to end this morning. You are not here this morning unexpectedly. Somebody say, "Oh, I didn't plan on coming to church this morning." That's all right. God planned on you coming to church. Okay. Nothing has happened in your life unexpectedly. God has been orchestrating it all along. Number two, I have a question for you. What is God planning that you do not have on your calendar? "I don't know." Neither do I. But I know this: if it's on his calendar, it's going to happen, and it happens best when I cooperate with him. I don't know what God has on your calendar. I don't know what God wants to do with your life, but I do know this: he's never made a mistake, and he will not start today with you. How will you react the next time something unexpectedly happens? Now you can go home and get mad. Or you can say, "God, what are you going to teach me?" Or you can say, "God, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?" Some of you need to say, "God, are you pursuing me? Do you want to know me? Because I just feel like you're trying to get into my life. Then let him in. Don't fight him. Cooperate. He's willing to provide us direction. He's willing to provide you protection. He's willing to meet all your needs. But ladies and gentlemen, would you please mark it down in your Bibles? If you choose to follow Jesus Christ, it will be costly. It doesn't come cheap. And this land was in great mourning because families, by the thousands, lost their children. You say, that wicked king, that is the wickedness of sin. That wicked king killed every child, male-born child, 2 years old and down in that district. And yet God said, you say, Pastor, God knew it was going to happen. Yes, he did. He knew before time it was going to. Then why did he let it happen? To prove to us the depravity of the human heart. Men and women are capable of anything. Never say never. You never know what circumstance you're in, where the evil side of a man may come out. But if you put Jesus in your heart and let him be Lord of your life, he can suffocate evil, amen? And he lets the Jesus part of you rise to the surface. And that's when people say, well, how come you're not angry? I'm not angry because God's in control. Amen. Isn't it different when God's in control? Well, you don't know what direction you're going in, but God knows what direction I'm going in, so I'm going to trust him. Well, you don't have anything. I don't need anything. Somebody asked me the other day, man, Miss Pastor, how much money did Mr. Hamill G. leave? All of it. How much was that? Everything he had. Yeah, but you know what I mean, a dollar figure. I know what you mean. I don't know that. But I know this, he took nothing with him. Except what was in his what? Let's stand.